You
and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to take sandals but not a second tunic. Jesus said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went out and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Normally when we go on a journey, most of us make a list of things to bring. Today, when Jesus was sending out the apostles, he specifically made a list of things not to bring. Because so often we place our earthly securities in the things of this world, and if he was going to be sending them out to announce, as St. Matthew's version of this scene reminds us right at the beginning, that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, that they needed to be living as members of that kingdom, if they were going to be proclaiming that we need to trust in God's providence, that he cares for us more than he cares for the lilies or the sparrows, then they need to be living, showing that trust. If they were going to be proclaiming that they needed to love their neighbor just as God had loved them first, then they needed actually to be sent out with somebody to love, somebody to forgive, somebody to be patient with and kind with, and all of the descriptions that St. Paul would later give. They were sent out as living proclaimers, not just as people with words, but as people who were already seeking to enflesh what they were announcing. The kingdom of God that they were proclaiming is, as the great theologians tell us, both now and not yet. It's something already here, and Jesus announced it, that it is among us already, because the king had already come. But it was also something down the road, at least in its definitive revelation, in its definitive participation. So that's why Jesus would give so many beautiful images about the kingdom of God as an eternal nuptial banquet, to tell us how to prepare for it with yearning and hunger, like those wise virgins, to keep our garments prepared for it by remembering our baptism and truly rejecting Satan and all his lies and all his works. And so, both now and not yet, the apostles first went out to proclaim the now. That was the shocking thing, because everybody looked ahead toward the time of the Messiah. So they were announcing that it was already here. And in order to do that, there needed to be a radical change in people. That's why when Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God is at hand, he said, "Repent and believe in the gospel." It's why today, as we see at the end, they were sent out and preached repentance. The kingdom of God requires a change so that we begin to live in that kingdom. As Cardinal Ratzinger used to say, the kingdom of God means God. That God becomes the definitive reality of our life. We judge everything we're doing by the fact of his presence. It means not to think the way the polls say everybody should think, but to put on the mind of God, to start to long for what the heart of God longs for. Because the kingdom of God is present, we need a change in life. In the responsorial psalm today, when we were talking about the temple of the Lord, the temple is the heart of the kingdom. And we see there that in the temple of the Lord, there is the mercy. It's not just our turning away from sin and turning toward God and then eventually with him by our own power. It's God gives us what we need precisely to make that repentance and faith possible. But the kingdom of God is likewise on the way. And to proclaim the kingdom today, we need to focus similarly on this eschatological dimension. Pope Benedict said that one of the problems of modern life is that we're so satiated with lesser hopes that we've lost a yearning for the great hope of eternal life with God. And so part of the proclamation has got to be, this isn't all there is. Now that's not only for the people suffering injustices today, that the wrongs will be eventually righted, but it's also for those who are experiencing the best that the world has to offer. There's a reason why Jesus says, woe to you who are rich. And basically all of us living in Manhattan in 2019 are among the richest 99% who have ever lived. Woe to you who are rich. Because sometimes we can place our faith, hope, and love in the material securities rather than really in God. And so we've got to proclaim that great hope. And that's what we do in today's first reading. One of the most beautiful passages about heaven in sacred scripture, but about a heaven that's participated already in what we're doing tonight, which you've shown up for. What the sacred author does is he contrasts what happened on Mount Sinai with what happens here and will happen on the definitive Mount Zion. He says, you haven't approached that which could be touched, a blazing fire and gloomy darkness and storm and trumpet blasts and a voice speaking with words such that those who heard begged that no further message be addressed to them. Those were the theophanies that occurred with Moses and the Jews in the desert. You've approached something different than that. And he was saying this message to the Christians between the persecution of Nero and the imminent one of Domitian to strengthen them with the great hope. No. You have approached Mount Zion, the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem, all images of heaven, countless angels in festal gathering. We await seeing those angels dressed that way. The assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. All those who are the first fruits of what Christ obtained. God, the judge of all. The spirits of the just made perfect. The saints, even better than they were here on earth. Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. How that blood continues to purify the 144,000 who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That's what we await in heaven. But it was also given to the first Christians because that's what happens here in embryo. We approach heaven here because we approach the King of Heaven. If we had eyes to see, as some of the mystics have seen, we would see countless angels hovering around the tabernacle right now, and soon they're going to be hovering over the bread and wine that has been totally changed into Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. The saints are here with us. We meet Jesus, the mediator of that new covenant. We have a chance to become one with his blood for the forgiveness of sins. The great hope that's supposed to inspire us is anticipated right here. And there's no better place to enter deeply into God's kingdom to receive his help, to turn our life totally toward him. So as we come, let us remember to whom and to what we draw near. Praise be Jesus Christ.